I read a story about a consultant who was hired by a supermarket chain to lead a customer service program. During one of her speeches, she said to them, "Every one of you can make a difference and can create memories for your customers that will make them want to come back time and time again." "How, you wonder?" She said, "Put your personal signature on your job. Think about something that you can do for your customer to make them feel special, a memory that will touch them." The consultant tells that about a month after she had spoken, she received a call from a 19-year-old who worked in the store. His job was a bagger, and his name was John. He proudly informed her that he is a Down syndrome individual, and he told her his story. "I liked what you talked about," he said, "but at first I didn't think there was anything that I could do for our customers. After all, I am just a bagger. But then I had an idea. Every day after work, I would go home and I would find a thought for the day. If I couldn't find a saying that I'd like, then I'd just make one up. When John had a good thought for the day, his dad helped him set it up on the computer, and then they would print multiple copies. John would cut out each quote, sign his name, and then he'd bring them to work the next day. When he'd finished bagging someone's groceries, he put the thought for the day in their bag and would say to them, 'Thanks for shopping with us.'" Well, a month later, the store manager called the consultant too, and she said, "You're not going to believe what has happened. When I was making my rounds today, I found John's checkout line was 3 times longer than anyone else's, and I quickly announced that we needed more cashiers, and we got more cashiers up front, and I tried to get people to change lanes, but most of them wouldn't move. They said, 'No, it's okay, we want to be in John's lane, we want to get his thought for the day.'" The manager told how John delighted the customers. One woman told how she used to shop at the store once a week, but now she came in every single time she drove by because she wanted to get John's thought for the day. John's small action of kindness and care, it really transformed the attitude of the whole store. Other employees started finding creative ways to do small things to change and touch people's lives. A wonderful spirit of service spread throughout the entire store, all because John made a choice to make a difference by blessing people. Now think about John's idea. His idea wasn't nearly as innovative as it was loving. It came from his heart. It was real. It was authentic. That's what touched his employees, his customers, his peers, and all of us who hear this story. Great service comes from the heart. Today's scripture story is a story about great service that came from the heart. The story begins with Nahum, military commander of the Syrian army, who was favored by the king because of his victory in war over Israel. But in spite of all of his accomplishments and greatness, in spite of his status, Nahum has a terrible problem. He suffers from leprosy. Leprosy, we've talked about it before. It's a terrible skin disease, and in biblical times, it was a disease that carried with it the social stigma of being unclean. Often in biblical days, people who had leprosy were actually banished from society. They had to live totally apart from others. Sometimes they'd even have to walk around saying, "Unclean, unclean." Now, Nahum, because of his status, was fortunate in that he was permitted to mingle freely with his own people. As a member of the king's court, he had access to all the best physicians in the country. And undoubtedly, he had tried every available treatment for his leprosy. But nothing had worked. And in the midst of this situation, an Israelite slave girl mentions to Nahum's wife that a prophet in Samaria named Elisha can heal leprosy. In his desperation, Nahum is willing to give it a try. And so he travels to Samaria with extravagant gifts to offer for a cure. He goes directly to the king of Israel and gives him a letter from the king ordering that Naaman be healed. The Israelite king is greatly disturbed and troubled by this demand because he believes that the Syrian king was asking the impossible in order to start a war with his nation. And so he doesn't know what to do. The prophet Elijah hears about the king's distress and he tells him to send the leper to him. When Nahum arrives at Elisha's house, the prophet simply sends him a message to bathe 7 times in the Jordan River. Now Nahum, he's indignant. He's first angry that the prophet didn't come out to meet him in person and give him that honor. And then he is angry that the prophet isn't healing him in the manner he thinks he should take to heal him. And he is angry because he doesn't want to bathe in the Jordan River. It's a muddy, dirty river. But his servants encourage him to follow the prophet's directions. And ultimately, he does what he has been told. And he is cured. Think about that story. There are so many lessons we could glean from Naaman's story, but our focus today isn't on Naaman. It's on the servant girl. Do you remember her? If you don't feel too bad. Some of the biblical commentaries I studied in preparation for this sermon didn't even think that she was an important enough person to mention her in their commentaries. Think about how easy it would have been for this servant girl to think she was too unimportant, too powerless to make a difference. Consider her situation. She was a slave, the lowest anyone could be in social standing. She was an outsider, a Jew living in Syria. She was young. Why would a powerful leader listen to a child? She was a female in a male-dominated culture. By the standards of that day, she had nothing going for her. No power, no position, no voice. The only thing she had were her faith and her caring heart. And that was enough. She simply made a suggestion to her mistress about where Nahum might find healing. And her small act made all the difference in the world. It led to Nahum's healing. Think of this story. And think how easy it would have been for this girl, who had been taken captive from her land of Israel, to be bitter about her captivity and to think to herself, let him die. He's getting exactly what he deserves. The captive helping the captor. That is spiritually powerful. Don't you wonder what gave this girl the inner depth and maturity to offer help to her captor? I think I know why she did. I think the reason comes in her faith. Remember, she was captured from Israel, and as an Israelite, she would have been brought up and taught the ways of God. Even in her captivity, she had held on to God, trusting God, and bearing witness to God's power to do great things. And because of her faith, she set aside her prejudice and her bitterness and the pain she may have rightly had. And she tried to help her captor find a cure. Let's Let's go a little bit deeper now. Let's take this story more personally. What about us? Are we able to love like that, to serve like that, to have faith like that? I think this captive girl reminds us of what church is to be about. The church must be a place that ministers to the Naamans of this world, a place where people are offered resources to find hope and healing and wholeness, regardless of who they are or what they have done. The church must be a place where we don't rejoice in people's downfall, but seek to find healing for all. The church must be a body of people who, like the servant girl, who offer others in need, even and especially those different from us, resources which are the result of faith. In Hebrews chapter 13, 2, Scripture tells us this. Read it with me. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Friends, we have no way of knowing what plans God has for the people around us. Who would have ever guessed that this young captive Jewish girl was an agent of God for good in Naaman's life? In ministering to him, perhaps she entertained an angel without even knowing it. Have you ever entertained an angel unaware? Are there ever visitors at our church who might enjoy an invitation to coffee or a conversation after worship? Are there lonely people who might enjoy a visit? Perhaps there is a young person who could use help or guidance in dealing with the struggles of youth, or older people who have so much wisdom who need to be asked for information and guidance. Is there someone politically or socially different from you who you could learn from and understand better? Is there someone who maybe seems to have it all together, but underneath might really be feeling alone and quite overwhelmed, and you could offer a word of encouragement and a supportive hand? Do you recognize that you might well be their angel, God touching, helping, and healing them? You might just be ministering even unto God as you care for them. That is really profound. That is powerful. Folks, you here in this congregation, you are powerful people who can change people's lives. And we have so many people among us here in this place who are making a real difference, who are entertaining angels in seemingly small ways. People who drive others to appointments for therapy and medical needs. People who drive others to worship. People who knit prayer shawls for hours on end to bless other people in times of need. People who visit a struggling friend and bring that friend to church or bring church to that friend. Teenagers who help younger kids with their music, academics, or athletics, or simply take the time to talk to them at church or other places. People who hear of a need at CHUM, our social service agency, for clothes or food or supplies, and not only check their own closets and cupboards, but go rummaging and shopping to meet the need. Children who give of their own money to purchase food for our local food shelf to help neighbors, or give money to animal allies to help animals in need. People who take others out for a meal, or bring a meal or treat or flowers, or send a card just to check in with them and know that they are cared about and they are remembered. Teenagers who go out of their comfort zone to make another young person feel included and accepted. People who take steps to offer hope and healing and words of affirmation and care in this heated political climate. People who make sure that those who are overlooked have a voice and are heard. People who refuse to gossip and engage in negativity and instead seek to understand and help and bless. Children, youth, adults, you and I can make a difference, a real difference, and we are called to make a difference. And in so doing, we entertain angels. We might not be able to solve the world hunger or poverty problem, but we can feed one hungry person. We might not be able to end war, but we can make peace with someone with whom we have a conflict or disagreement. We may not be able to heal someone of their grief, illness, or pain, but we can offer them a touch or a word of life and hope. We may not be able to personally reverse global warming and other creation concerns, but we can make sure we are attending to our world impact and inspiring and helping make it easier for others to do so too. We may not be able to rid the world of injustice, but we can make sure that we treat others fairly and speak up for those who are being treated unfairly. We may not be able to personally turn around the hostile, divisive, abusive political climate, but we can be careful about what we say and do, how we react, making sure our actions are truthful, respectful, and life-honoring. We may not be able to prevent death, but we can hold the hand of a dying or grieving person and their loved ones and walk with them. It's easy to not do anything with the excuse that we can't make a lasting difference, that we really can't make a dent in society's problems. But God tells us that our small offerings, combined with the small offerings of others, are the very ingredients of what it takes to bring hope and healing and change the world. Like the servant girl, we can make a difference with our small acts of faithfulness. So let's be creative and let's do it. The story about Naaman and the servant girl, it doesn't simply end with Naaman's physical healing. If we were to have read a few verses further, we would have found that in addition to being physically healed, Naaman recognized who God is, and he made a vow that he would worship and serve God. He is both physically and spiritually and emotionally healed because one small girl did a small act which ended up changing his life for eternity. Friends in Christ, know this truth. God uses our small acts to touch others with our Lord's presence. Our actions and our words, they really matter. And what an honor it is for us to be a part of God meeting people's needs and working in people's hearts. May each one of us actively love God by loving others. And in so doing, perhaps we will be entertaining God's angels. May it be so. Amen.